Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you using quality microphones and interfaces from Rode Microphones. Australian owned and operated, Rode products are world-class audio equipment. If you're creating a podcast or making music, you need Rode on your side. Rode Microphones, exclusive audio sponsor of Full Credit to the Boys. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, we visit the Lady Garden Fitness Centre, the wheels are falling off the Raiders, and country practice immortal Larray Desmond passes on. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You're playing games with my heart. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Full Credit Boys live from the Craig Gower Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast, Instagram FCTTB podcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts. He's a man who this week said he's not worried about the approaching mouse plague in Sydney and welcomes our new mice overlords. He's set to announce the new shock signing for the new NRL expansion team, the Oatley Rock Spiders, as Israel Folau. And tonight, he's wearing a black mesh singlet. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, well, hello, former. Hello, Australia. Hello, world. Just got to apologise from the top of the show. A bit under the weather, former.
I know. You're coughing everywhere. It's great.
Yeah, I got a bit of the man flu. It's not the Chinese virus. Don't worry.
Kung flu.
It's just that I'm on holidays and I've been going out every night running amok. I'm just going to try and struggle through this podcast and do my best. But just know if my jokes miss, it's just because I've got the sniffles and I'm on medication. It's not because I'm not funny, which I am. If I say anything offensive, again, it's because I'm on medication, not because I'm a bad person. Don't cancel me. Thank you. But this week, former Australia Post released a new stamp.
A new one.
Yep, for celebrities that have contributed to the world of podcasting. There's nothing better than a celebrity that contributes to the world of podcasting.
And, I mean, if anyone can say that, it's you.
Yeah, I've got my own stamp. It's a big one.
Angie Kent, how's Angie's been going? Collector's edition, I heard.
I think she sold more stamps than has had listeners, put it that way. But this week, Australia Post have outdone themselves. This has to be one of my absolute favourites. The great man former. Pete Evans, friend of yours and mine. Don't know how many times you and I have gone over to Pete's house for some tofu and some activated almond milk.
Tofu Harris, is there?
It's always a good time at Pete's. And his podcast is amazing. Have a listen to this.
The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers.
And cheers to you, Pete.
Sounds amazing, doesn't it?
Oh, mate, I'll be sitting there underneath my Pete Evans lamp.
You've got to have the lamp.
Eating my paleo tofu and thinking, how good's life? That's what I'll be thinking. And if you're a fellow simpleton from Facebook who hates anti-vaxxers, no, likes anti-vaxxers, is that right?
Yeah.
You isn't an anti-vaxxer.
You don't need the vaccine if you've got the lamp. I'm going to sit there and have a cup of guano tea and listen to this fella. Yeah, no, it's good.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm Bibi Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Yeah, first story comes from the Binalong Bugle, and it's all women gym opens with tinted windows and warnings for customers when men are inside.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Does an alarm go off?
It's no secret that many female gym goers often feel intimidated by men while they're working out. And with increasing reports of women finding themselves being filmed or photographed by the opposite sex, it's not hard to see why.
Grubs.
However, one gym has come up with a great way to dispel that intimidation by creating an all-female gym. Well, that's novel.
Yeah.
Complete with tinted windows, locked doors, and even free sanitary products. Yeah, why would they need the little KFC towelettes there?
Not sure.
Okay. Waitress Stella Virgin shared her experience of the Lady Garden Fitness Centre, which is located in Overland Park in Kansas, describing it as the best gym. The gym has tinted windows, so no one can look in on people working out, and it has locks on all the doors, which means that only members, who, of course, are all female, can get in. And naturally, as it's an all-ladies gym, it has a glass ceiling that no members can crash through.
Ruined one of my jokes.
On top of that, it's 20 to go.
Yep.
On top of that, the ladies' gym, which is open 24/7, alerts users when any male staff members are on shift, as well as providing free sanitary products for all members. Why would they need those KFE towelette things?
Not sure. Is there a kitchen there? Do they make sandwiches?
To get members in the mood to move some tin, the latest episode of the Mamma Mia podcast is played over the speaker system, while on screen, the best Jermaine Greer TED Talks are shown on loop 24/7.
There's a stamp that needs to be issued. Can you imagine Jermaine Greer's podcast?
It also offers free babysitting, runs social wine nights for members, as well as evenings where all the members sit around telling each other how shit men are, and customers have raved about it in reviews online. We need these everywhere. We feel so safe and comfortable going to the gym. It's going to be my new favourite spot, Stella Virgin wrote. One TikTok user, at SweatyEater2021, commented, I feel so much safer using a machine wrong as I'm a beginner. I would feel less judged and much more comfortable asking for help. This is fantastic for Muslim women too, another person said without comment or any jokes about it underneath.
Yeah, I looked at the photos of this gym. It looks the business former. Of course, I'm not allowed to do a tour of the facility because I'm a man and an alarm goes off as soon as I walk in there.
But you've got boobs.
But also, I'm not allowed in there because they've heard about my ban from Fernwood. News travels fast in the fitness industry.
But still allowed in curves.
But it's a great looking gym former. They have pink treadmills, little weights for the beginners. In the spin classes, all the bikes go exactly the same speed, so all the ladies can be in sync with their cycles. That joke sounded better in my head. But anyway, they can all wear skimpy outfits without blokes leering at them. There's a big area for Instagram posts and photos, a kitchen to make sandwiches and use those little towelettes. There's pictures of blokes on the wall. That's novel. All under a big glass ceiling. You ruined that one. But some of the Twitter posts and reviews of the Lady Garden Fitness Centre have been brutal, and it's all from men. They just can't help themselves, former misogynists, all of them. Some of the comments were, why can't men have men-only gyms? Whatever, mate.
Good point.
One said, what I would do for a glass ceiling at former_legend on Twitter. And another said, Lady Garden Fitness, how about you try fitness in your mouth? Blokes are the worst.
And anyway, my alternate ladies' gym, the PMS 24/7, it's getting heaps more good reviews on Twitter. Ooh, strap yourself in here.
What do you got for us?
The Blaney Bulletin. Straight men in bromances kiss, cuddle, and stand around naked together.
Hey.
One of the benefits of being in a bromance is the ability to have a cuddle with friends, undergraduate students who took part in a study on male friendships have said.
Now, according, what's going on at universities nowadays, former?
According to research.
This wasn't happening when I was at uni.
Sure we can't get into that, Sheila's gym? According to research published in Sex Roles, a journal of research, there is a strong desire to cuddle and hug between bromantic friends. That's just to say it again, bromantic friends.
That's blokes, right?
While kissing is just another way. Kissing is just another way of showing affection. Sure is.
I don't believe you. I do not believe this study. But continue.
One of the students involved told the authors, you can lie in bed with your bromance, have a cuddle, and just talk.
Wow.
While another said he understood it as having a cuddle buddy. Another one, a 5-foot-tall podcaster from Oatley said he likes to lie in bed with his bromance and just have a bed on the third at Randwick. A fourth man thought cuddling, hugging and podcasting were a core part of a bromantic relationship. A bromance has been defined as an emotionally intense bond between straight men. Sometimes it's also defined as the relationship between a prime minister and the leader of his happy clapper church. In its conclusion, the authors wrote, They spoke about their desire to cuddle and hug with their bromantic friends. Some agreed that this was the case when asked, whereas others offered it as unsolicited as part of the definition of a bromance. Yeah. In all, 29 of the 30 men who took part said they had cuddled their bromantic partners. This latest work also backs a 2012 study that found 89% of 145 men surveyed had kissed a man on the lips.
Hey?
One participant said, "Guys nowadays in my generation, there is so much kissing between guys because it's showing affection. We kiss, we cuddle, we lay around in bed all day, and once a year we shave down, throw on some glitter in our best undies and jump on a float and march up Oxford Street to the Horden Pavilion." Another man wrote, "I hug him and I kiss my bromance and tell him I love him, and sometimes, on special occasions, we dock."
I'm not sure about this this study former. It's the
what's not to be sure about?
Well, it's the definition of heterosexual that it's a bit misleading here for me. 89% of hetero males said they'd kissed a bloke on the lips, hugged them, and told them they loved them.
And the lie detector test determined that was a lie.
89% of males that answered this question and identified as straight are 100% gay. And that's fine. That's fine.
Nothing wrong with that.
But you're ruining this study.
It's tough to find a gym. This comes from the West Wyalong Whisperer. A 40-year-old husband and father has ignited a new row online over whether social media addictions have gone too far. A woman has sparked a debate online after confessing that her 40-year-old pudgy podcasting stumpy husband is so obsessed with TikTok he can spend hours on end scrolling through his phone.
Wait. Is this actually a story or are you just stitching me up here?
"My husband has an obsession with TikTok and he's 40.
Yep.
By the way, not 14.
Correct.
He takes his phone to the bathroom will spend ages just mindlessly scrolling. An unnamed woman, but let's for the sake of the argument call her Mrs. Sid, explained on Reddit's Am I an Arsehole forum. She says she's forced to go and check on him after he disappears, only to find he's once again fallen down the TikTok trap," which is better than falling down the poo trap. "I'm constantly having to go and knock on the door and say, are you okay?
Just leave me alone.
It's a pain in the ass." However, it's the most recent incident which has sparked a debate after the man missed an entire roast dinner with his family because he was sat on the toilet in the ensuite on his phone. "I was making a full roast dinner and saw him heading off upstairs. He said, I'm going to lay a roast dinner. I said, I'll be ready in 20 minutes. Don't be long. Set the table. I finished cooking, plated up and just thought, I'm not going to go and see him. This is ridiculous. So instead of going upstairs to call her adult husband," that's right, adult husband, "she decided to see how long it would take before he would come down on his own. 2 hours and 10 minutes later, he appeared."
Yeah, but I microwaved it later.
"That's right. Well, he came down and yelled at me. I should have told him the meal was ready. I told him I'm not his mother. It's not my job to go and seek him. The husband then stormed out of the house, refusing to eat the dinner she prepared for him because as roast dinners are heated in the microwave and are rubbish, and this is all your fault," he said. People in the comments on Reddit took the wife's side, with one person saying, "Former legend carries that podcast anyway." What's that mean?
Look, this is totally normal. As I get older, the more time you sit on the shitter, the better. It's peaceful. I write good content for the podcast on the throne. You can just sit there and look at TikTok videos. My For You page, former, you won't know what that is. That's what it's called.
Fucking no clue.
Yeah, your For You page is your timeline of videos that pop up. It's determined by...
You're a fucking loser.
Nah, it's great. But your For You page is determined by Chinese spies keeping tabs on what videos you watch. And mine is filled with washed up bass players playing their versions of cover songs. It's great. Poker hands, flat earth videos, and former, there's even some creditors on there dancing.
NRL round review brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Shout out to you, Budgie. NRL round 11, and we kicked off on Thursday night when the Cowboys were too good for the Knights, winning 36 points to 20. Last week, Knights coach Adam O'Brien said that losing had become a culture at the Knights over the past 5 years, and the tradition continues as the Cowboys spanked Newcastle up there at Yokel Credit Union Stadium. The game began in spectacular style when Jason Taumalolo recorded his 201st NRL appearance with family and friends, stood near the sideline as the Cowboys sex god ran onto the field.
Were you there?
With the stunning, with the stunning second rower giving his dog an enthusiastic pat before kissing his partner, actually gave his partner a pat and kissed his enthusiastic dog, charging onto the field. The Cowboys shot out to a 3-try lead after 20 minutes, thanks mainly to Scott Bongwater, but then a Knights try followed by the sin-binning of Jason Taumalolo, sacrilege, yeah, and Bill Burr for high shots opened up the opportunity for Newcastle to level the scores at 16-all at halftime. The sin bins probably flattered the Knights, Sid, as the Cowboys righted the ship not long after halftime, scoring the final 4 tries of the game to seal the deal.
Yeah, remember when Aaron Woods misses brought his dog onto Leichhardt Oval for some milestone game for Woodsy?
50th or something.
He ran through the banner. He didn't even see his dog. He just ran onto the field. The dog was all upset.
You done messed up, Aaron!
The Tigers cut him soon after, mostly because of that instance, I think. Mm. That's how I remember it anyway. But your boyfriend endeared himself to everyone by stopping and patting his dog on the field. And having a good game, he ran for almost 200 metres in 60 minutes of game time, 27 tackles. He did spend 10 in the bin, but the Cowboys were always in control of this game. Some poor defence from the Knights. They are falling apart, the poor old Knights former. 2 losses on the trot to the Tigers and Cows, each time conceding 36 points. But don't worry, Knights fans. Apparently Matt Lodge is on his way to Newcastle.
The saviour.
Yep. I've been banging away at this for years. It's going well up there at Newcastle. Isaac Moses, even though he's deregistered, he still has a big influence on clubs.
I don't think so. He's not allowed to.
The Knights is one of those clubs. It's an absolute joke. Let's have a look at Newcastle. Isaac Moses is allegedly now managing Adam O'Brien, the coach, assistant coach Willie Peters, coaching consultant Anthony Seabomb.
Yes.
As well as other coaching staff, and has a close relationship with head of recruitment Clint Zammit, and he also manages Matt Lodge.
What are you saying? I don't get it.
Me neither. He'll go well up there, don't you reckon?
He'll
fit in.
Yeah, he'll fit right in. I mean, obviously, the Knights can't travel to New York anytime soon, but, he'll fit in.
Yeah.
NFL convert Valentine Holmes is starting to really warm to his new game of rugby league and is forming a combination with Scott Bongwater since moving from wing to fullback a few rounds ago.
He's really picked up the NRL game, hasn't he?
Oh, he's going well.
Before now, he just played
it on video.
I thought
it was a joke signing a guy from America, but
yeah,
no, that's he's, going well. He's picked it up.
Not all of them work out.
Not every one of them. It took a little bit of time for Holmes to fire in the second half, but with 20 minutes to go when the game was locked up, the Cowboys looked to their star fullback and he delivered a crucial 4-pointer. Holmes finished the game with 1 try, 2 try assists, 1 line break for 1 line break assist and 103 running metres. Bongwater was equally impressive with 3 try assists, 2 line break assists and an offload.
Yeah, they were good, the Cows. As you said, Val Holmes, he had a good game. Tuolungi, he had a man of the match performance. He had 3 tries, 4 line breaks, 192 running metres and 1 tackle. That's right, former, 1 tackle.
It's a good one, bud.
Nah, it was piss easy, to be honest. The Knights' only fight back during this game happened when the Cows were without players due to the sin bin. Taumalolo's, look, I know you're biased, so you're just going to agree with me here, but that one was accidental. The league has to do something.
Cleanest player in the game.
They have to do something about accidental shots. A player falling and collecting a defender's arm, even though it might collect you in the face, has to be deemed accidental and a penalty sufficient. Otherwise, everyone's going to be in the bin.
Yes, the first game on Friday night, one of the greatest bullshit results in history of rugby league, saw the Warriors beat the West Tigers 30 points to 26.
Bullshit.
In a seesawing game, the Warriors held on until the final play to beat the Tigers by 4 points. The Tigers were unable to back up last week's victory over Newcastle, despite the Warriors having 2 players binned during the second half. The lead changed 4 times in the game, and with 6 minutes to go, the Warriors were out by 10 points before a late James Tamau try with 2 minutes to go set up a thrilling finish. The final play of the game went for 30 seconds alone, Sid, as the Tigers attacked the Kiwis from 10 metres out, spreading it from one side of the field then back to the other again before knocking it on and killing the game.
Yeah, we suck. You made that sound so exciting, but it was shit. The Warriors were down to 12 men for 20 consecutive minutes there, and we couldn't capitalise. We took two penalty goals in that time that they were a player short, and we conceded two tries for fuck's sake when we were up a man.
Found an overlap. Not sure how. Found an overlap.
We had a golden opportunity to put the Warriors away, put two wins together on the trot, but lapses in our game cost us all the time. Madge McGuire summed up our inconsistent form when he said this in the press conference.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
I think that sums it up.
Warriors coach Nathan Brown made the tough choice to put his captain and star fullback Roger Tuivasa-Sheck to the wing to accommodate teen superstar Reece Witherspoon in the spine. The move was immediately under scrutiny when he was caught out of position when the Tigers crossed, but it was proved to be a masterstroke as he had three try assists and a try of his own, as well as 118 running metres, four tackle busts, two offloads, a line break and four line break assists. But Warriors coach Nathan Brown was quick not to let it go to the 18-year-old's head, saying he wasn't even the best player on the field. Tofu Harris was our best player tonight. Reece was outstanding, but Tofu was our best player. You blokes only highlight all the good parts, but he's got some parts he needs to work on too, as 18-year-olds should.
Jeez, he's a bit harsh, isn't he? Reece Witherspoon had a cracking game in this one. And didn't the commentators on Fox want to let everyone know? Michael Ennis could not stop singing Witherspoon's praises.
Yep.
He went on and on about it, only to stop when the game finished. And Ennis quickly ran down from the commentary box to the sheds to give Walsh some bromance cuddles and kisses, probably a wristy. But once again,
reach around at least.
It was a game that got away from the Tigers. And the same old shite gets repeated from this club. We just got to work hard as an organisation. We know what we've got to do. Everyone in this organisation is working hard. We know where we want to be as an organisation. Blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you where there's no organisation, from the halfback. And our left-hand side was diabolical. Let's just move on. Let's talk about another game, a better game, a cracking game.
Well, the TV game, which is the game of the round, live and free on Channel 9, saw the Sharks beat the Dragons 13 points to 12.
No, move on to a better game.
The people who were patient enough to sit through the first 80 minutes of this bludger of a game were treated to an exciting golden point, highlighted by calamity, butchered field goals, dumb decisions, before a Chad Townsend field goal finally killed the game dead and hand interim coach Josh Hannay his first win under the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks.
Congratulations, Josh.
Corey Norman kicked a penalty goal to get the Dragons on the board seconds before half time off the back of a sin bin and penalty for a high shot on fullback Cody Ramsey.
Gordon Ramsay,
who was ultimately ruled out of the game. It wasn't the only sin binning of the night, with Dragons enforcer Vol Porn also being sent to the bin for a shot on Will's Chamber. And Josh Dugan also spent 10 minutes in the sheds for a lazy arm off the back of a lazy body on a Dragon.
Mate, what a bludger of a game this was.
Live and free, Channel 9.
Here was a case that when the two teams are tied up after 80 minutes, just shake hands, go and apologise to the crowd and go home.
There's only 14 there. Introduce yourselves to them, move on.
Say sorry, I'm off. Don't even have a shower, just piss off. That Vaughan sin binning is another example of an accidental shot on a player falling to the ground. Will Chambers sat on the ground and waited for the video ref to review it, all the while with a smile on his face. It didn't hurt him. And Vaughan was sent for 10. Those instances are not what the rule's about. I get it. You can't attack the head. But this is not why the rule's there. But to be fair, the sin binnings in this game were probably the highlight of the game.
I don't know if you've noticed.
Dud game of footy.
Every time Will Chambers gets hurt, the NRL physio doesn't tweet about it.
Interesting.
The Dragons have come off the boil over the past few weeks, but aren't without their excuses. They are down on personnel with Josh McGuire, Tyrell Fumanu, Mikali Ravalawa, and Tarek Sims all forced to watch on the sidelines as they serve their respective bans for high shots, shoulder charges, and hip drops. off-contract fullback Matt Dufty, look elsewhere, also sat out with a shoulder injury. And during the game, Gordon Ramsay, who was ruled out of the game after a high shot. The immediate draw is relatively kind to them over the next month. They face the Tigers.
That'll be a loss.
Easy for them. Broncos, win that. Dogs, probably beat them. And Raiders, depends who's left there. The Sharks are also staring down missing key personnel with Hiroti, Dugan and Wilton, all looking at time on the sidelines. All are facing charges for high shots from the game.
What's Hiroti's first name?
Marween.
And Wilton's first name?
Teague.
Yeah, okay. Look, they're getting smashed by injuries and
Dugan's
suspensions.
First name is Joe's.
They're getting smashed by injuries and suspensions, the Dragons, which is good. Their only tries in this game were to winger Finney when the Sharkies were down a man.
Name?
I don't know. I haven't got it written here. And one of those tries was from a kick, so that doesn't even count. So they've definitely gone off the boil, the Dragons. But lucky for them, they come up against an organisation called the West Tigers next week. That should play them into form.
As long as they're organised. Saturday, and the Titans beat the Bulldogs 30 points to 20. Let's move on. No one was more surprised than the Bulldogs players, who thought numbers ended at 18 as they got to their highest score in 2021. But it wasn't enough, as a scratchy Titans team managed to get to 30 in a high-scoring, mistake-filled game at Bang Bus Super Stadium. With 3 minutes to go, it was a four-point game before some tired Dogs defence saw AJ Brimson score the sealer and consign the Dogs to last place on the table.
There were some entertaining tries in this game, especially from the Titans. This actually wasn't a bad game of footy. It was better than the last one anyway. It had length of the field tries, disallowed tries, sin binnings. Dylan Napa lost his shit. That's always good to see. But some good footy was played by both teams in this one. The Doggies, they got to 20 points former, which Trent Barrett had talked about all week. We just got to get past that 18 points mark, he said. But once they got there, they actually didn't know what to do. Reminded me of a time when I played soccer in the under sevens. I was playing as a back, and the coach said, "Your job is just to stay in our half." And I got the ball, ran away with it, got to the halfway line with everyone cheering, and I just booted it. Didn't know I was allowed to go on the other team's half, and we were so shit no one expected any of us to get that far. And that's pretty much the same as the Bulldogs. No one expects them to go past 18 points, even them. So thanks for listening to my TED Talk. I hope it was both entertaining and informative.
Jared Wallace has thrown his name in the ring for a Logie for best newcomer with a sterling acting performance in the same weekend that Desmond has died. And it was in the second half that ended with Dylan Napa copping 10 minutes in the bin for the slightest touch on the chin of Wallace. That's a danger, I suppose. We all understand why the NRL is being hard on it, but it's a real grey area at the moment, Bulldogs coach, the crying Trent Barrett said. You don't want to see people milking penalties or crying in press conferences, but it's a competitive sport and it's going to happen. And we probably saw it a few times this year already. The Titans scored immediately after Napa was binned to show that in 2021, a good acting team will beat a good footy team every time.
Look, that's exactly what I've been trying to say. Ned Philanders just doesn't seem to comprehend or care that when he changes rules, coaches and teams will look to exploit those new rules. Seems like out of every game, we're talking about sin binnings more than the actual footy. Some people are now even resorting to telling interesting anecdotes about when they played soccer when they were a kid, rather than talking about the footy that's getting played on the pitch. It's becoming a real problem, but I'm not sure if you saw this. Ned Philanders is non-repentant. Here's what he had to say to Danny Widler, your mate, after this week's round. Have a listen to this.
It's a crackdown that would see a lesser leader meltdown. The game is in a spin, but Peter Valandis is standing his ground. He makes no apology for an in-season concussion blitz.
Some former greats have said your ego is getting too big. You're out of control. How do you respond?
I think that's so wrong, because if my ego was out of control, I wouldn't be doing this, because, you know, you'd want to be recognised for other things. This is a tough stance for the player's safety. I'm not looking for adulation.
Are you liking what you're seeing on the field at the moment?
I find it very nerve-wracking at the moment.
I find it awesome that when Danny Widler asked Ned Philanders if his ego is out of control, the camera cuts away twice from Philanders whilst he is answering to show Danny Widler's face.
Yeah.
Whose ego is out of control?
You're like Ivan Milat calling you a murderer.
Yeah.
Steady on.
Steady on.
The Roosters went down to the Broncos, 34 points to 16. Now, Victor Radley was sin bin twice and placed on report four times.
That's awesome.
As Tevita Pengai Jr. and Albert Kelly. That's right, Albert Kelly.
Yeah.
Inspired Brisbane to a shock 34-16 triumph at Mardi Gras Oval. The game finished 6-3 as David Mead scored a Broncos hat-trick to help secure the third win of the year for the Broncos. Radley was sin bin for high shots on Kelly and Pengai in the 12th and 42nd minutes and also placed on report for tackles later in the match on Brisbane halfback Tyson Gamble and winger Xavier Coates. He could have ramifications for his chance at winning his first New South Wales Blues call-up, with Radley set to make his debut last year before a serious knee injury ended his season prematurely.
Look, the sin binning
prematurely.
For his sin binning.
Hate that word.
Prematurely. Yeah. The sin binning for. He got sin binned for attacking the kicker, and I use these air quotes, high and forceful. And it was a joke. He wraps his arms around the player. That was a joke of a sin binning. But let's not dwell on it. Let me tell you about the time I scored a try for Penshurst RSL against Renown to get us in the grand final. Nah, I'm just joking. It was a good try, though. This game had absolutely everything. The Broncos threw everything at the Roosters, and at the 14-minute mark, they were up 10-0 with tries to Copley and Mead before the Roosters scored tries, three tries in a row. But then the Broncos regathered themselves, putting on the next 18 points to upset the Roosters, who will be further depleted this week as Radley, as you said, faces a bigger punishment than Jarryd Hayne, being cited four times in this game. He's going to be out for 3 years, 8 months at best, I reckon.
2 years if he gets good behaviour. Broncos 5'8", Albert Kelly, the former Cronulla and Gold Coast playmaker, was a standout in his first NRL appearance for 7 years.
Yeah.
He ran for 56 metres, had a try assist, three tackle breaks, made 18 tackles and kicked for 309 metres throughout the game.
Yeah, it's great for Albert Kelly. He's played his last six seasons. Playing the last six seasons and 110 games in the Super League. There were also good performances from West Tigers bound Isako and Pengai Jr. and Newcastle bound Matt Lodge.
He's a good player.
He's a great player. He ran for 214 metres in only 50 minutes of game time. He'll be good up there.
He'll fit in down there.
Yeah.
The Raiders, well, they done all their scoring and got it out of the road and then watched the Storm put on 34 points as they went down 34 points to 10. Melbourne made it 8 wins on the trot as they put the Canberra Raiders to the sword with a 24-point victory at Geelong Cold Stadium. After leading 10-0 after 15 minutes, the Raiders put the cue in the rack as the visitors scored the next 34 points to dominate a Canberra team missing the class of Jack Whiten, Josh Hodgson, Jordan Rapana, Josh Papali'i. Storm big man Nelson Asofa Solomona scored a double, while as exclusively tipped by rugby league experts Sid Punts and former legend, the run of poor form continues for Josh Hadakar, not scoring a single point in this game.
Yeah, I think Josh Hadakar's played himself out of a Blues jersey after this tryless effort. The Blues, we've just got too many fullbacks that he can be replaced with.
That's right.
It's another dominant performance
from
the Storm.
Not a good time to be out of form as a winger.
Like, sure, the Raiders were depleted. They did have a crack in the first half, but they were no match for a brilliant Storm side. They just keep rolling on. Here's a tip for you. Canberra's premiership window is broken, but the Storm will get to the grand final this year and probably play Panthers.
Mm.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Frame
of market.
$1.90 favourite again.
Yep.
The difference in halves for Raiders was stark in the running metres statistics column. Running metres for the first half saw them 564 metres and in the second half just 428. And post-contact metres in the first half, they made 125 metres and the second half, 84.
Not good enough.
Add to that the overall errors for the Raiders totalling 13, missed tackles reached 32, and it made an ordinary night for Ricky Stewart, culminating in a 114-second press conference where he never directly answered one question out of 10 asked, coughed three times, and tapped the desk directly under the microphone 15 times.
And here is that said press conference in its entirety, because it's only short, in our now regular segment. What's Ricky complaining about this week?
Two wins and one press conference time. Here's Ricky, Ricky, Ricky.
Here we go.
Ricky,
you're really on the tough one. Obviously, the first 20 or 30 minutes going planned, but then it went away from the plan, it seemed.
Yeah, they stayed in it for a longer period than us.
Can you put it down to anything? What sort of happened after that first half, honestly?
Oh, I'll have to have a look at it again.
Is it just a simple case of you're missing a lot of your first choice players?
No, it's definitely not that. It's I'm not going to look at that as an excuse.
Obviously, you do pick the 17, believing they can do a job, so that's more your attitude rather than looking at who was out, looking at who was in, and what job they did tonight.
Yeah, it's not attitude.
Sammy Williams, bright spot tonight. Good performance from him.
Yeah, he's always generates a bit of enthusiasm when he gets picked in first grade. It's he gets them around the park well.
How's Thomas Dowling?
Yeah, I'll have to have a look at it again, mate. I haven't spoke to the doc yet.
The incident with Solomona just before half time. There's a report on that. Did you see anything that incident
at all? I'll have to have a look at it again.
How's Chance?
It
sounds like some bad news
with
regards to Chance.
Yeah, you're better off talking to the doc about that.
Where to from there?
Next week, mate.
It's how do you sort of turn things around for the Roosters, obviously?
Yeah, it will be. Another tough one next week.
It's a real spectacle, the coach's press conference where they shed so much light on the game.
I'll have to have a look at it next week. I didn't see it.
I don't know. I haven't checked yet. Ask the doctor.
Well, the Panthers just fell over the line out there at Malcolm Nathan Stadium, winning 56 points to 12. If South sort of win the comp in 2021, they're not only going to be the first team to do it after conceding 50 points once, but now twice as the Panthers went to town on them up there at Malcolm Nathan Stadium. It was an amazing homecoming for Matt Burton, who scored 3 tries on his childhood oval as Penrith knocked up 9 tries against a flaccid Bunnies outfit. Nathan Cleary also got a double and 28 points as the 5/8 shootout for a blue spot was a one-sided affair after Jerome Luai dominated his opposite, Cody Walker, to leave Brad Fittler with only one real choice, Adam Dewey.
Yeah, I'd probably put Pappenhausen there at 5/8 with Tommy Turbo and Dewey in the centres. Probably put the wingers, Luttrell and Dane Laurie, Tedesco at fullback, Clint Gutherson at lock. We've just got too many fullbacks. You can't leave them all out. But there's too many good fullbacks for a bloke like Jerome Luai to be considered at 5/8. Even though, Forme, is a scoop for you, he's having a pretty darn good season. The Panthers, they just keep rolling on. It will only be...
Does he need to play a few games at fullback to be considered for the Blues?
I think that would help his choice, his chances. They just keep rolling on, the Panthers. It will only be complacency or a cocky attitude that sees them finally lose a game, probably the grand final, as they are just too good. The kids from the foot of the mountains, they're on fire.
Benji Marshall finished with 0 Supercoach points as he went 0 running meters, 0 offloads, 0 try assists and 0 line breaks, mainly because he spent the entire game sitting on the pine as Wayne Bennett elected not to use him in the game. When quizzed after the game as to why Benji didn't get a run on the field, old Soup Bone said, "I wasn't going to embarrass him. We weren't defending and Benji's not known as the greatest defender the game has ever seen."
Yeah, look, it's a real indictment on the West Tigers recruitment staff letting Benji go with those stats.
Didn't make no mistakes, no handling errors, didn't kick out on the floor once.
Yeah, they're only commenting on the glass half empty stats there. Didn't make any errors. Look, I think old Bones Wanye, he's already started shopping at IKEA with Adam Reynolds for their bachelor pad up in Brizzy. He's clocked off at the Bunnies. They've conceded 56 points in this one. They conceded 50 points 2 weeks ago against the Storm. Either he's clocked off or it's a ploy from the cunning old fella to only try against the shit teams. And don't worry about the good teams. We'll be there in September. It's an interesting strategy.
Lull them.
Yeah.
The final game saw the Sea Eagles beat the Parramatta Eels 28 points to 6.
What an upset.
In an emotional day for the Manly club, the players saluted fallen legend Bob Fulton and with a demolition of flat-track bullies, the Parramatta Eels, at Wankbest Stadium. The Seagulls wore black armbands and held an emotional pre-game embrace for Fulton, who died aged 74.
Yeah, another great of the game lost. One of the original immortals, Bob Fulton, passing away this week. A very sad day for rugby league. But the Sea Eagles, they put on a great display to honour their club legend, upsetting the Parramatta Eels in a one-sided affair, beating the inform Eels easily at home at Wankbest Stadium in a real upset. Well, it was an upset for me. You picked them.
I backed them. A pre-game injury to the named 5'8", Cade Cust, meant Josh Schuster shuffled to the halves in jersey number 12. Schuster has long been the Seagulls' planned pivot for the future, and his re-signing for another 3 years earlier this season is proof of exactly that. Schuster's sleight of hand laid on Brad Parker's first and another for Carl Lawton as well. In fact, the makeshift 5'8 had a hand in all three first-half tries for the Seagulls. In the end, he finished with 14 tackles, a try assist, and two tackle busts.
Yeah, look, I was calling on Desi at the beginning of the year to bring in Schuster. And lo and behold, he listens to me. The Eagles win 6 from their last 7. They were gone, the Sea Eagles, at the beginning of the year. Now they've turned it around, sitting comfortably in the 8 in 6th position. Their next 5 are all very winnable against the Knights, the Cows, the Tits, the Dogs and the Raiders. Jeez. Here come the Sea Eagles, my friend.
Israel Folau's UK Super League club is reportedly contemplating legal action after the controversial footy star revealed he was making a comeback to rugby league in Australia. At a press conference with mining magnate Clive Palmer on Friday, Folau announced he'd signed with amateur club Southport Tigers in the Gold Coast's A-grade competition. The news came as a shock to Catalan Dragons, who recruited Folau after Rugby Australia tore up his contract for making homophobic posts on social media. Folau was contracted to Catalan for this season, although he'd been allowed to return home on compassionate leave because of a sick family member. When noises were being made about a potential return to the NRL with St George, Catalan hit out and said they expected Folau back with them this season. However, that isn't happening, and Catalan football manager Alex Chan said he was shocked by Friday's development. Our stance hasn't changed, Chan told someone. We've given Israel and his family time to get back together and make sure everything is going good, and we expected that once Izzy found some stability, we've left the door open. We still hold his contract. He's still a registered player with Catalan. It was a big shock to see what he was putting out there. Catalan president Bernard Gorch was sticking firm in reiterating that Folau is still a Dragons player and has not been released from his contract.
This was bizarre scenes, former Folau and Clive Palmer holding a press conference with Fat Clive's company Mineralogy bankrolling Folau's bid to play league in Australia. The big fella was fired up, saying he will spend every dollar, go down every legal avenue and spend every waking minute that he's not at the gym to ensure Folau can return to rugby league, saying, if he is not registered by Wednesday, I believe we will issue an injunction in the Federal Court of Australia against the QRL for their discrimination against him on religious grounds. But I think the most telling quote Clive said in this presser, former, when asked, Folau has said he doesn't like drunks, adulterers, liars, fornicators, and whatever idolaters are, and homosexuals. Is there anyone else he doesn't like? Clive said this.
He doesn't care about creditors.
He doesn't care about creditors.
Oh, creditors. I think he said predators.
No, I think he said creditors or predators. Either could apply.
George Williams has been given an immediate lease from the Raiders to return to a less gloomy place than Canberra, called Northern England. Williams has been granted a compassionate grounds release from the final 18 months of his Raiders contract, which is believed to be worth around $600,000 a year.
Yeah, it's all turned into shit down there in Canberra.
The wheels are falling off.
This was what we were praising Ricky for a couple of years ago, getting these Pommy players down there in putrid weather in Canberra, and they all fitted in. Now they're all sick of it and they're all off. I don't know if it's the weather or the conditions. Maybe the coach. Don't know.
I wouldn't think it's the coach.
Don't know.
Knights playmaker Blake Green has announced his immediate retirement after 14 seasons in the top grade in Australia and England, with Newcastle now able to target two mid-season recruits. The 34-year-old made his debut with Parramatta in 2007, played 270 games with stints at the Sharks, Bulldogs, Warriors, Storm and Seagulls.
Played everywhere.
Two seasons at Hull Kingston Rovers.
Yeah, the Knights are just clearing the deck for some big purchases for him.
Jeez, he's a good player, that Matt Lodge.
Oh, he's going to be great up there.
Warriors CEO Cameron George has reluctantly announced the club's NRL squad won't be able to return to New Zealand as hoped and will now remain in Australia for the rest of the season. While a trans-Tasman travel bubble has been in place for a month, George said in a club statement, it had become clear that heading home on June 21, as initially planned, was no longer a realistic option. It had been hoped the Warriors would be able to base themselves in Auckland to play their last five regular home games at Mount Smart. The Warriors are still hopeful of playing games in Auckland later in the season on a fly-in, fly-out basis and will explore options to see if it can be done. George was confident players would not seek to return home to New Zealand like several did last year, as some families are able to live with them in Gosford, unlike the situation in 2020.
And unlike the situation in Canberra, where they just want to get out of there and go see their families. Look, I'd kind of forgotten that the Warriors are still living away from home and can't go back and forth. But they're still.
Has it improved them as a team?
Well, I don't know. They're just always unpredictable. Mm. I don't think it's affected them one way or another. They just keep doing what Warriors teams keep doing. But they're keeping the comp going again this season. They were applauded for their efforts last year. And the longer it goes on, we may see the Warriors play two whole seasons of games at home next year and the year after to compensate them.
I don't mind what happens. That.
Yeah, I don't mind either.
The Dragons have reportedly told injured fullback Matt Dufty he is free to leave the club at the end of the season. Negotiations between Dufty and the Dragons over a new deal had stalled in recent months, and now on Channel 9's Danny Widler reports the club have decided to move him on. It's my understanding that Matt Dufty has been told by the Dragons that he's free to go. I don't think they want him for next year, Widler told 100% Footy.
Yeah, he said it straight down the camera lens as well.
Yeah, he did. He looked straight down. And then he answered himself when they changed the camera view.
It's a strange one with Matt Dufty. He was apparently on the outer with their previous coach and then said with the new coach coming in and with no contract to play for, he's going to have to start lifting. There seems to be some issue with him. They don't want him. This is two coaches in a row. He's out. They're getting rid of him. And it's not about his footy. He's playing good footy.
All jokes aside, rugby league legend Bob Fulton died on Sunday morning after a long battle with cancer. He was the Australian coach and immortal of the game, and there wasn't anything Bob Fulton didn't achieve in terms of his rugby league career, and he'll be celebrated as one of the most influential people to have played and also coached the game. And to top it off, there would be no Manly Seagulls as strong as they are today without Bob Fulton. He coached more than 400 games. He played 263 games. He's a Hall of Famer. He's number 74 in the Hall of Fame. He was a member of the Team of the Century in 2008, and he was one of the first four immortals.
Yeah, he played 219 games for the Manly Club, scoring 129 tries, played 16 games for Warrington and turned out for the Roosters 50 times, played for New South Wales 16 times, Australia 35 times. He coached 383 club games for the Roosters and Manly, and even captain coached the Roosters at one stage. Coached the Kangaroos 39 times. He won three premierships as a player with Manly and two as a coach. A true great of the game. Vale, Mr. Bob Fulton.
Yeah, vale.
Johnson, the stepper. For the heavyweight championship of the world.
Sports News.
AFL, hashtag talk other games down. The Swans went down by 2 points to the Fremantle Peggers, while the GWS Money Pit beat the West Coast Glass Barbies by two straight kicks and a few inaccurate ones.
Yeah, it was another close one for the Swannies. They've lost by 2 points to the Fremantle Peggers in this one, like you said. They lost by 2 points to the Giants a number of weeks ago. And they've had a 2-point win over the Geelong Supercats and a 3-point win over the Essendon Bummers. Some close ones. I'm old enough to remember former when the NRL used to have close games.
No, I can't remember that.
Yeah.
AFL, hashtag talk other games down. The club, best known for historical systemic racism, the Collingwood Doves, have a very own super fan called Jeffrey Joffa Corfee, best known for his anti-Indian health worker tweets, and he's been charged by police over the alleged abuse of a teenage boy in Melbourne. The 60-year-old is due to face Melbourne Magistrates Court again in July on two charges of sexual penetration of a child under 16. It's understood that charges relate to allegations Corf abused a 14-year-old boy in Melbourne in 2005. The former cheer squad leader and his gold jacket were fixtures at the club best known for historic systemic racism, the Magpies, AFL games for several years.
Yeah, look, it's all turned to shit for the Collingwood side since they decided not to be so racist. This week, they took aim at the Port Adelaide Powerades. Mm. The Port side has been in discussion with the AFL about wearing their original strip, what's referred to as the Prison Bars jersey.
Mm. I think Jared Tain's wearing that at the moment.
Collingwood has said, looks too much like theirs. Eddie McGuire phoned a friend and stopped the Port side from wearing that jersey, even during Heritage Round. So when the two teams met this weekend, the Pies ran through a banner that took aim at the Port Adelaide side. The banner read, "Is black and white ours? Without doubt, yes. Stick to wearing teal and wrecking in excess."
Mm.
It's a clear reference to the jersey issue and
Never Tear Us Apart, which is the song that the Port Adelaide play.
Oh, I thought it was a dig at their number one ticket holder, JD Fortune.
All right.
I'm not sure.
Did you see...
But funny banter.
You probably didn't see this.
From Collingwood.
After the first quarter.
Yeah, no, I didn't see it.
The Power had 1 point a behind.
Yep.
And former Collingwood star, Dane Swan, tweeted out, "Is 1 point good for an AFL team after one quarter? Asking for a lot of people in South Australia." After they won the game by 1 point, the official Port Power Twitter account wrote back to him, "Pretty handy point that."
That's fantastic.
Golf. Paulina Gretzky was all set to pose for Playboy until boyfriend Dustin Johnson intervened.
Ooh.
Boo. The iconic magazine approached the daughter of the greatest hockey player of all time, Wayne Gretzky, in the early days of her relationship with golfer Johnson with an offer she didn't want to turn down. Gretzky is regularly seen cheering for her fiancé on the fairways of major tournaments, and while they're usually on the same team, this time round, Johnson put his foot down because he couldn't get behind the unique career opportunity that Playboy had offered. You said you'd get behind her career opportunities.
100%.
Gretzky revealed how Johnson has prepared to dip into his own pocket to avoid seeing his better half grace the pages of Playboy, likely without too many clothes on, Sid.
Yeah, Paulina Gretzky is hot. That's all I've got to say on that.
Here ends my TED talk. Golf. From sipping wine, declaring some unfinished business and elbowing him in the ribs, Phil Mickelson is basking in the delight of becoming golf's oldest major champion by talking to some of the sport's biggest names on Twitter. Fresh from claiming his sixth major, Mickelson became the world's oldest major champion by claiming a two-shot win over Louis Oosthuizen and Brooks Koepka at the Ocean Course at Kiwa Island. His victory came 8 years after winning the Open in Muirfield, where he held off Henrik Stenson and Adam Scott and Tiger Woods to claim an unlikely victory with a final round 5-under. But in typical Mickelson fashion, the lefty celebrated his historic victory by telling his fans what he was up to. Sipping wine, half-lit, tweeting, "Life's good," he wrote. As well as a number of hilarious responses to Twitter users, Mickelson replied to injured star Tiger Woods, "Truly inspirational to see Mickelson do it again at 50 years of age. Congrats," Tiger wrote. Mickelson replied, "Thank you. I'm putting for your quick return."
Oh, so witty.
Classic.
I actually follow him on TikTok. He's good. He's good to watch on there while I take a dump.
His first major was in 1991.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's a long time.
Yeah. He's 50. Cool. So you're saying there's still a chance for us, former.
No one has mentioned but that. No one really likes him on the tour.
No.
He's a bit of a turd.
No, but he's good on TikTok.
Need a Sparky, then make the call to NDF Electrical.
Do you need electrical work done? NDF Electrical provides expert service and advice on a wide range of commercial and residential projects. With over 23 years' experience, NDF Electrical have you covered for all your electrical needs, from the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads, Byron Bay, and everywhere in between. For a free quote, go to ndfelectrical.com.au.
NDF Electrical.
All right, Sid, it's time for the greatest podcasting segment in all the world. It's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yeah, it's time for Grab a Mirror. Thanks to the NDF electrical people up there in the northern, far northern New South Wales coast.
Good people.
Mate, if it's something you want put in your roof or a few extra power points put in hidden places or if you want to jack your power off the bloke next door.
They do legitimate stuff as well, former. Not sure you know.
Whatever. Yeah, but hit up NDF electrical. They are
the best in the business.
They are. You can reply to my tweet on a Tuesday at around 7:30, 8 o'clock with the hashtag Grab a Mirror, hashtag GAM. I do another one around 4:30, same thing, hashtag Grab a Mirror, hashtag GAM. We do the top 10 only. I'd like to remind everyone of that, the top 10 only.
Yep.
We don't reward mediocrity.
No,
saying
not
that
anymore.
Could have been a top 5 tonight. if you don't mind, Sid, I wouldn't mind going first.
Yeah, you go first, man.
Grab a Mirror and rest in peace, the great man, Brazilian rap singer. MC Kevin.
MC Kevin?
Yeah, it's not often you can say someone has gone out doing what they love, Sid, but yeah. On Sunday night, fortunately or unfortunately, Big Kev joined that big rave in the sky, Sid. Now, it seems Reverend Kevin was in a hotel room with his mate Victor in lockdown and model Bianca Dominguez, and they were smashing up the beers and enjoying some homemade fat cigarettes when they decided that the best way to end such a wonderful afternoon would be to have a good old-fashioned three-way.
Yeah, why not?
The old menage a trois, the old double adapter, the old screaming seagull, the good old sportsman's double, the old sucking pump, the old double dogging, the old tock the triangle, said the old back door, front door spearing. Anyway.
Let's hit the slopes and go skiing.
Now, ordinarily, this would be no big deal, except Big Kev, man, had just been married. A month ago.
Oh, I saw this story. Yeah. Oh,
and his wife was in the apartment directly below the one where the triple play was happening.
Wow.
Oh, and his wife got all Tracy Grimshaw and decided if she could go and find Kev Tastic, who was up on the next floor.
If she was like Tracy Grimshaw, she would have been on their floor.
And looking for the woman. it seems Kev
so you want the threesome? I'll have to cut that out.
It seems the K-man's own bodyguard had worded Kevster up on his WhatsApp to let him know that the little lady was out and about looking for him. So the K-dog thought he'd outsmart old Cranky Pants by shimmying off the balcony and back into his own room where he was going to pretend he'd been there the whole time. Now, it's probably
surprised.
It's probably at this point with a gut full of beer and a bunch of jazz cigarettes under your belt that you probably should have realised that you know, you were not in the best state to be doing this Spider-Man impersonation. As it seems, old Kevaroonie slipped from the fifth floor and plummeted 40 metres where he headbutted the concrete just 3 feet from the pool.
You don't come back from that.
Witnesses say the screams coming from Kapil Kev's mouth moments before he ate concrete sounded shit before it was put through an auto-tune. So anyway, grab a mirror, Kevin in heaven, you song-murdering, shit-climbing, model-rooting ninja. We can all dream about leaving this world doing something we truly love. And when I say love, I mean something we're prepared to just kiss on the forehead.
10.
The old fat boy. Old slippery. The old scallop. The old Greasley. At
Toddy.
Todd Greasley. Hashtag grab a mirror at West Tigers.
Hey.
Put them in it. And have a good hard look at the way the at Seagulls put them in it and their big dick gunslinging freak of a fullback celebrated the life of a club hero in style. Hashtag even the expense of my eels. Hashtag Tommy Gunn. Hashtag Tommy Tripod. Hashtag Rip Bozo.
Yeah, that's a good point.
9.
At Mario _ Seags. Hashtag grab a mirror, Victor Radley, you magnificent bastard. We've been eagerly awaiting someone to come up with an in-game equivalent of Gowie's golf day. 4 reports and 2 sin bins. I certainly admire your dedication to the bit. Hashtag fewer DCEs and more big dick Vicks.
8.
It's all about dicks. At Big Mac Keeper. Hashtag grab a mirror at FCTTB Stats Lab. And Shifty for allegedly moving his supply chain offshore for the at Eurovision, put them in it. But next time, don't use any of the Hoppawattie clan for assistance. Hashtag allegedly, hashtag nosebeers, hashtag it's winter.
Did you see that? The winner?
Yeah. Now he's tested clean.
Yeah, he was picking up a broken glass. He told everyone at the time.
7.
At NRL4Breakfast. Hashtag grab a mirror, Wanga Blake. You are a visionary leader in the wake of at P. Volandis, put him in it, crackdown. Your commitment to not participating in any defence is admirable for your long-term health. Hashtag turnstile. Hashtag do you know rugby league. Hashtag tackle please.
The only person with less tackles this week was Benji Marshall.
6.
But also less missed tackles.
Exactly.
At senior Woody 7. SR Woody 7. Hashtag grab a mirror at Fox NRL Live, put him in it, for making me vomit during Jake Friend's tribute match with questions like, how will you honour and respect Jake Friend? You know he isn't dead, right? His brain might be from all those concussions, though. Hashtag hope he remembers his own tribute. Hashtag hope he forgets this bad joke.
You've got to be careful with tributes and make sure you don't do bad jokes.
No time for him.
5.
At Lazy Larry. Hashtag grab a mirror, the champion Italian bloke on Eurovision, caught on camera on the old nose beers, employed the old at former underscore legend deny, deny, deny defence and claimed he was picking up a glass for his friend that broke. Class exactly. All the way, and they won the whole thing too.
When asked him, was he actually taking drugs and were they good, he said,
sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
What are we up to? Let's try this one.
4.
At the last Dander Ryan. Hashtag grab a mirror to all the dickhats blaming Elon for the loss of their houses after crypto crashed.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have invested in a sure thing like robber's dog. Hashtag put the whole inch in like former. Hashtag that's all we've got. Hashtag no orgasm for acorns. Hashtag no Sid Lagoon monster welcome.
Yeah, the old robber's dog app. At most live shows, it gets a run. And people sign up when they see it live, don't they?
Mate, when you see the talent available, why wouldn't you sign up?
Yeah, although Milgram's on there.
Mm.
All right, can I have a go now?
Yeah, this makes you number 3, I think.
Grab a mirror, Alex Rodriguez. Do you know who he is, former?
The great man.
Are you just saying that?
No.
I think you're just saying that. He is a former great man, a former Major League Baseballer, one of the absolute greats, with stints at the Seattle Mariners, Texas Rangers, and the New York Yankees. He's known as A-Rod. He finished his career with a batting average of .295. They're Glenn McGrath averages, former. They're not that good, but apparently that's good in baseball. He's an all-time legend of American baseball. He is CEO of A-Rod Corporation, born to do that role, you'd imagine, having the same name and all. But he is also on the board of a beer company. He owns the NBA team, the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's worth about $350 million and was recently in a relationship with J-Lo. He's dated the likes of Cameron Diaz, Demi Moore, and Kate Hudson. So what does any sporting legend do when he's retired? He's an absolute multi, owns beers and NBA teams.
Jumps from the fifth floor of a...
Dates megastars.
An apartment block?
No. This guy's a real man's man former. Does what we all would do. He starts up a makeup company for men.
You done messed up, A.A. Rod!
A.A. Rod, whatever. He says, I wanted to create a product that solved an issue I faced every day. I realized as I was jumping from meeting to meeting, I needed something quick and easy in my routine to conceal blemishes or razor bumps, he shared on Instagram on Thursday. Enter the Blur Stick, he calls it. A convenient concealer specifically designed for men that can be used for skin imperfections.
And pegging.
Check it out, he says. I think you'll be surprised how often it comes in handy.
Oh, I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so, brother. The ad goes on, priced at $17 and available in 8 shades, the sleek discreet product is made with ingredients. I just Googled some ingredients that goes into makeup, such as aloe extract, sesame seed oil, snail mucus.
Oh, good.
Wool grease, guano. Look that up. It's batshit. Fish enzymes. And A-Rod's favourite ingredient he used during his playing career, anabolic steroids.
Jeez.
He got busted. All of which, he says, helps soothe and moisturise the skin. And he looks great for me. I'll just bring him up on the screen.
Oh, look at that.
He's not as bulky as he was in his playing days. He looks a bit slimmer, but radiant.
He's more George Jennings than Michael Jennings these days.
His skin looks gorgeous. You're going to ruin something. I can see that this is going to be a path well trodden in the future by NRL players, former. Already Michael Jennings is saying that he actually used this product for 2 months before he was kicked out of the game. But other players are lining up to get involved in the man makeup gig. God help us. Mark Riddell is said to be working on a line of lipsticks called Piggy Lips with the slogan, "You really can put lipstick on a pig." Jason Taumalolo, this might surprise you.
Hello.
Apparently he loves wearing mascara. Could be a career for him after the game. And Dylan Walker is a massive fan of concealer. Might cut that one out. So grab a mirror, A-Rod. What are you doing, bro? Stick to beer companies and NBA teams.
And J-Lo.
And go sailing on your mega yacht with mega babes.
Three.
At BKP083. Grab a mirror at former underscore legend.
Hey.
Who did not tip Italy for the at Eurovision win. Thanks, mate. Hashtag gamble responsibly.
Yeah, didn't you have a sure thing?
Yeah. Malta ran fourth.
Fourth?
Mm.
Well, that doesn't pay. I should know.
Two.
At biggest faloo. Hashtag grab a mirror.
Is this a good one?
Mick Cronin. When the Eels needed a sacrifice to neutralise Manly's emotion over Bozo passing away, where were you? Hashtag, sorry, pulling and singing skooies at your own pub. Sometimes we need to take one for the team and you won more comps than Bozo. Hashtag, not as a coach. Hashtag, save yourself for the finals.
Okay.
One.
At Jared Campo.
Campo.
Hashtag grab a mirror to the magnificent bastard syringe collecting windscreen washer who pulled a dead pigeon out of my grill for $5.
That's $5 you'll ever spend.
You saved me time and energy. Hashtag stop scratching. Hashtag I can't see any spiders. Hashtag enabler.
Very good.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, bucks or hens night coming up? Mare Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom made t-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies, tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals. Or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mareinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mare Inc. has you covered.
Go to mareinc.com.au. Go to mareinc.com.au.
NRL round preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yeah, round 12, Sid, and that's brought to you by Bluebet. And, of course, when we talk to Bluebet, we talk to the number one man down there at Bluebet, Duncan McRae. How you going, champion?
Yeah, former Sid, all the lunatics out there doing well, thanks, boys. Pumped up, can you believe? Another round ticks by, and we're into round number 12. Unbelievable. 2 weeks out from Origin. Where will it be played?
Is it? Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Is it an exciting time to think that the Bunnies will be the first team to be beaten twice by 50 and still win the premiership?
Oh, we're just smoked. In Wayne we trust, boys. In Wayne we trust. We're a September team now, haven't you heard? We've just got to land there and we'll be fine.
Well, we've always said the Tigers are a September team. We just haven't seen one yet. So
no.
That's the only thing we're doing.
They're very good at the away trips in September.
Boys, we start on Thursday night when the Broncos take on the Melbourne Storm. It's up there at Fat Horse Stadium. It's $7.50, the Broncos in winning form. It's the $1.09, the Storm.
They just beat the Roosters, the Broncos.
No.
This is outrageous odds.
Oh, Bluebet just giving money away.
Just throwing money hand over fist.
The handicap's at 20.5 to $1.85. Dunks, is that long odds?
Is that a typo?
What's going on?
Well, it's a big line. And let's not forget, Storm travelled to Canberra last week. Now they travel to Brisbane, but everything they do, they're so professional and they get it done. The MILF comes back in and Jerome Hughes comes back in. So two in for the halves. You've got to tip the Storm. But I agree there, Foreman. That start certainly will get me interested in the Broncos at the plus.
They can't win two in a row, the Broncos. Melbourne Storm will smash them by a heap.
Yeah, I think so. But I would have thought $7.50 was a bit bulldog-ish in the odds, but yeah, fair enough. We go to Friday night, boys, and the Cowboys take on the New Zealand Warriors. It's up there at Yokel Credit Union Stadium. It's the Cowboys $1.90. It's the Warriors $1.90. It's the Todd Payton Cup. the handicap hasn't been set there, Sid. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know.
What do we think here, boys?
Yeah, former. I think the market's got it right. $1.90, take your picks, bang on. I'm going to tip the visiting team, the Warriors. I know the Cowboys have been pretty good at home, but I've just got a sneaky feeling with Harris Tavita, Nick Arima, and Walsh at the back with two of Arshashek. I think that's too much firepower on a dry ground up there in North Queensland.
Well, I've got to disagree with you. The Warriors were bashed up by the Tigers last week. Sure, they won. But most teams win against the Tigers. But they got bashed up. And Captain Coach Cranky up there, he'll have the North Queensland boys firing at home, the Cowboys. But it will be a close one. I think this will be a good game, actually.
I'll have the Warriors. I think they're pretty impressive last week. To be honest, I backed the Tigers. And I don't often do that because I'd rather just back against them and take the win if we lose.
Yeah.
But, yeah, back the Warriors. I thought they were pretty impressive. And Cowboys, still not sold myself. The next game, well, it's the game of the round, some would say.
Oh, absolutely.
Not many, but some. It's the West Tigers taking on the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Now, are these odds right? It's the West Tigers $1.50.
What's going on? We never win when we're favourites.
It's the St. George Illawarra Dragons at $2.55. The Tigers are at home at Wankbest Stadium, one of their seven homes.
Yeah.
the handicap's at 5.5. Dunks, are you? This is a bogey game for you because it's the Tigers and the Dragons, two teams that haunt you every week.
Oh, boys, I had a same-game multi in the Dragons versus the Sharks last week. All I needed was Corey Norman to kick that field. Now, you think the great man could have just found it for me, couldn't you? To win a nice little 9 kilo. Thank you, Corey. Going the Tigers, boys. I can't go the Dragons after that. I declared them last week at a big price of $2.80. They couldn't get home for me, so they're on the barred list.
It was a fantastic game, that Dragons and Cronulla game. Oh, I tried to say it with a straight face. The Tigers, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. Surely we can beat the Dragons. They're bashed up. They've got players missing all over the park. Tigers for me.
Surely the Tigers. I mean, if not now, when? Fair dinkum.
Exactly.
The next game, well, fair dinkum. They may as well kick off now, the Bulldogs.
What's the handicap in this one?
It's the Penrith Panthers taking on the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. It's up there at Full Credit of the Boys, brought to you by bluebet.com.au stadium.
Are we going out in a corporate box for this
one? We must
be,
surely. It's $1.01, the Panthers. That's right, $1.01. Not even better than bank interest. Can't even say that. It's $21, the Bulldogs. It's the handicap set at 34.5. I mean, wow. Fair dinkum. Might need 54.
Is that half-time or full-time?
For you'd imagine. I mean, I don't see 34.5 being enough for the Bulldogs.
Doggies, 13+, $101.
Dunks. Will you be taking the Doggies 13+?
No, mate, please. Panthers, too good. I'm going 50+. Cannot see the Bulldogs even scoring a try. I think it'll be +50 to 0.
If the Panthers can score more than 18, they're a good chance in this, I reckon. That's where the Bulldogs tap out. Yeah, this could be anything. Just depends on whether the Panthers go easy on them.
If you were Ivan Cleary, would you be tempted to rest a few of them? That could be the only thing that might save the Bulldogs, to be honest. They could
still their reserve grade teams.
You wouldn't want to rest them for them because they're all going to be away with Origin. You've got to keep it going, you know. That's the only thing.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Their reserve grade team's still better than the Bulldogs' first grade team.
It's going to be annoying for the Bulldogs to watch Matt Burton maybe score 6 tries on the weekend, but... yeah, you couldn't back the Dogs, not even with someone else's money.
There's Sid's rough punt for this week. Burton, 2+ tries.
The second game on Saturday sees the South Sydney Rabbitohs out of form and out of luck, taking on the Parramatta Eels just out of luck. It's $1.77, the Rabbitohs. That's right, $1.77,
what's
the
going
Rabbitohs.
On there?
$2.05, the Eels, if you don't mind.
What does Bluebet know that we don't
what's
know?
What's going on? They're playing it up there at Cathy Freeman Oval. Dunks, 2.5 is the handicap for the Rabbitohs. Is that right?
Boys, I don't produce this word very often, but galvanise is representing the Rabbitohs this week. They're back. They will win 13+ the Rabbitohs. Declaration of the week. The Bunnies get home and easily.
Wow. 13+ the Bunnies is at $3.80. I shan't be tipping that.
No.
Parramatta Eels off their loss last week. They'll be back. The Bunnies have conceded 150 points in the past 3 weeks or something. The Eels will win.
I don't mind the Eels at $2.05, I've got to be honest. I'm not sold on the Rabbitohs, and if, I don't know, maybe...
Oh, boys, you might have heard of a bloke called Cameron Murray. He's playing this week. He's the saviour.
I don't know if you've heard of a bloke called Benji who can't tackle and his coach hides him and even he's on the bench.
Yeah.
Well, we all know that. You blokes know that. You're Tiger supporters and he lasted 18 years.
Yeah. The Bunnies do... rest when they're playing good teams. They've had a couple of rests lately.
Jeez,
maybe they'll be fresh for this one. Oh. I can't see it, though. $2.05, the Eels.
Oh, I want this on the playback next week, boys.
Righto. The Sydney Roosters have gone up to the Central Coast to take on the Canberra Raiders. It's $1.26, the Roosters. It's $3.80, the Raiders, without like 98 players that have left.
Yeah, more leaving by the second.
It's up there at single mother's ground. It's handicaps 11.5, if you don't mind, on the Central Coast. Any good nightclubs up there, Dunks? Any good stories?
Oh, Club Troppo, please. Club Troppo, please tell me you've been there, boys.
Of course I have.
Oh, mate, the designated single mother's area.
It was a rhetorical question, wasn't it?
mate, Club Troppo, across the road, Gosford, the Central Coast League.
There's no lineup.
Anyone you get on around my ear, ask about Club Troppo, please, boys, please.
There's no lineup absolute out the front, but you've just
absolute
got to...
Absolute fill-up.
Got to make your way around all the prams.
Oh, that a crash there, boys. That a crash. You didn't have to pick them up at 6 in the morning. It was perfect. Roosters, they welcome back Josh Morris. The Raiders, what's going on, boys? I actually thought they were a hope of challenging for the title this year. That's how good a judge I am, but they're going to... disgusting. Thought they were in that game against Melbourne last week. They led early. I backed them at the plus. Geez, that didn't last too long. Roosters easily.
Yeah, the Raiders, what, they were up 10-0 and then clocked off and people have been abandoning ship all week. The Roosters, they just keep getting bashed up, but they still field a good team. Surely the Roosters can get over the Raiders.
Well, for the Raiders to win, obviously they're a team that only scores in the first half, so they need to get to 40 by halftime to be any chance. And even then, I'm not sure. So I'll be back in the Roosters with a lot of confidence. The first game on Sunday sees the Cronulla, Sutherland Sharks taking on the Gold Coast Titans. Now, they're playing this up at Coffs Harbour at Don't Mention the Bulldog Stadium. It's $2.15, the Sharks. It's $1.70, the Titans. They said, we'll meet you halfway. That's as close as we could get. It's 2.5, the handicap. Take your pick going to the Sharks. Any good Coffs Harbour stories, Dunks?
Oh, probably. I don't think Brayton Astor will be on the commentary team up there, will he? So I'm not quite sure. No, Coffs Harbour, mate, you've got me with that one, former. I was waiting to see what ground you had for me. You never disappoint, great man. Gold Coast Titans for me easily, boys. You know I'm against the Sharks. I can't have them. I thought the Dragons definitely should have beat them last week. Poor finishing there. Can't have the Sharks, boys. Titans for me. The Fifita brothers are back in for both teams, but I think I like David a bit better.
That's the good David, not the one I went to Vanuatu with. Plays in the Super League.
It's the one that will pass the pinch test.
I'll never forget, boys. I was over there with the Bulldogs in the Cook Islands, I think it was. We were playing a couple of pre-season games over there, and we had a few sherbets there, and we got to meet the king the next day, the king of Tonga, actually. And everyone was still a bit, not much sleep under the belt. He gets introduced, so it got to a bloke called Robert Ralph. Mm-hmm. He said, "Oh, this is Robert Ralph." Reached down, grabbed me on the neck. "G'day, big nuts. How you going?" Needless to say, the security blanket filed in, and I don't think the Bulldogs aren't invited back to Tonga either, but let me tell you.
Yeah, the Titans will win this.
Oh, Titans are specials.
Yep.
And finally, it's the Newcastle Knights. They're taking on the Manly Warringah Seagulls. It's up there at 1997 Stadium. The Knights are $3.90. It's $1.25 the Seagulls. Well, fair dinkum.
What's going on with the Seagulls?
That's even generous. 11.5 is the handicap. You could not back the Knights. They look legless.
They do.
Dunks, is there any way that this won't be a Seagulls benefit afternoon?
Well, the Knights welcome back Ponga and Braden Best, you know, two of their best players, but they're up against Tommy Turbo, Superman himself. What can you do? What a performance last week from the Seagulls. Is it going to be a big come down after, you know, Bob Fulton Day last week? But Tommy Turbo only knows one way, and that's to be class. He's the best player in the game, and he's lifting that team, and he'll do that again, in my opinion.
To be fair, but this week, Newcastle Knights are playing in the honour of Larray Desmond from country practice, so they might be motivated just as much. So I'll be backing Manly, but don't forget Larray.
I'll be backing Manly.
What, she used to wear the Henny Penny jerseys for me? Have you got a story for us? Or what's going on here?
400 appearances on a country practice.
That's an interesting comparison. I'll give you that. But the Sea Eagles are dead set on fire. The Knights, as you say, Dunk, getting some good players back. But I think the Sea Eagles will win.
I think she was a number 4 supporter one year. I can't remember. But
number 4 ticket holder up there.
Rest in peace, Larray. All right, Dunks, good chat.
Well, she's the only one that's got near Cameron Smith's record. Is that what you're telling me for, mate? 400 appearances, one of the greats.
Get you not look too deep into the cast of a country practice. There's a couple of skeletons there.
Oh, yeah, some dodgy goings on there. But
Gordon Piper, not one of the great men.
Let's catch up. Let's try and get some decorum here. And let's talk about our tips last week. The Creditors, they got 4. Sid Punt's got 4. Dunk, you got 5. Former, he's in some rare form. He picked 6 out of 8. So the Creditors are coming last. They're no good, 57. But they're catching up to you, Dunk, 58. I'm on 60, and Former is on 63.
And going away.
Yeah, just, maybe.
Just put the whip into the right hand and just...
We'll see.
It'll be interesting as I look up with Former.
One out, one week. Back, Former. I like it, man.
2 furlongs to go, looking the goods. Doug's happy betting this week. Are you going out to Full Credit of the Boys, brought to you by Bluebet Stadium, to watch the Bulldogs get lapped?
I told you, boys, the invitation's there. It's round 23, Penrith South. That's the only time Dunks will make the trek over Anzac Parade.
We'll see you out there. It's going to be a great day.
Righto, mate. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
NRL round preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au. Or download the app today. Righto, this week's guest Patreon tipster is Mitch Kay, and I tell you what, he needs to pull some magic out of the bag to catch the great man, former legend.
Oh, geez, you're gloating.
G'day, Creditors. It's Mitch Kay here on the Gold Coast with some tips for round 12 this week, which looks to be a bit of a tricky one. Starting with Thursday night, Broncos versus Storm and Bris Vegas. Got to pick the Storm here with Addo Carter score plenty. Friday night, early game. The Cowboys will win at home as the Warriors will have the mad cow on their minds. Then game of the round, Tigers vs Dragons out at Wank Best Stadium. Never like picking the Tigers when they're favourites, but I can't have the Dragons at the moment. Saturday, 3 p.m. game at Full Credit to the Boys, brought to you by Bluebet Stadium. Panthers aren't short enough at $1.01 against the Bulldogs, they'll romp it in. Followed by the Rabbits at home versus the Eels, both teams coming off a loss. I think the Eels can be the better bounce-back team here. I think Wanyo's packed his bag for Brisbane already. Then the Saturday nightcap. I think the Roosters can get over Ricky's Raiders up there at Central Coast Stadium. Moving into Sunday, Sharks vs Titans. Tough pick here, but I think the Titans have more points in them, so we'll go with them. Then to round out the weekend, Knights vs Seagulls up there in Newcastle. Tommy will score a double as the Seagulls will win and win comfortably. That's it, folks. Support the boys on Patreon and get tickets to the live show if you can. They are great fun. Cheers.
I love how that's totally unscripted.
Mm.
Patreon subscribers just send me their voice message via email, but all of them put a little ad for us at the end.
I know, it's good
I
for
I really it. Appreciate it. So if you want to be part of the Patreon tipster, go to patreon.com/FCTTB. Throw us a couple of bucks so I can remain solvent, drink beers on a Tuesday night. Really appreciate it.
And I believe there's something might be in the works for the Patreon people.
Yes, exclusively.
Mm.
Yeah, I've got more to say about that in this segment.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad.
If you want to go to fullcreditpodcast.com, it's got our details for our upcoming live shows. We've got one that is a totally full credit to the boys show, our State of Origin show. We did it 2 years ago in our New South Wales onesies that I dusted off the other day. It's a bit...
tight?
It's a little bit tight from last time, but...
What happened? Shrunk, did it?
I think it's shrunk in the wash.
Stupid dryer.
But that's going to be a cracking show. We've got Spud Carroll and Bill Harrigan. We've got the boys from Six and Out, Richard Cheekwe and Gavin Robertson, and the SKPs, the full credit to the boys house band, and a whole bunch of other musos, the Oz Icons band. It's going to be a cracking show. We've got one table left for our renowned gig that Matt Riley has kept just for creditors. Apart from that, that show is sold out. So if you want a ticket to the renowned 70th anniversary gig that we host, we hosted that a couple of years ago as well. COVID stuffed us last year for all these shows. Go to fullcreditpodcast.com for tickets to all those shows, membership packs, and of course, become a Patreon subscriber because we've been approached to do a bit of a... How do you explain this?
An exclusive Patreon subscribers only gig.
Yeah.
How's that?
People can come and watch how we record a show.
For free.
For free. Be a Patreon subscriber.
At an unknown location. Well, we know it, but an undisclosed location.
Yep. It'll be a Tuesday night, of course.
Tuesday night.
And you'll see how long this godforsaken podcast takes us to record. But you'll be there, warts and all, watching us.
We'll see some of the shit we have to take out, including some of the stuff like tonight. So
some of the stuff tonight was horrendous.
But
yeah, so go to patreon.com/FCTTB to be in the running for that.
Yeah. What else?
That's all I've got.
The tipping comp, I've moved up to about 30th. I see you're down to about 105th.
Mate, I'm shocking.
Plummeting like a Russian airline. Got some letters, snail mail.
Oh, we got some?
This one from a Mr. Clive Palmer.
Big fella.
Hi, Sid and Former.
Great man.
Wouldn't think so. Hi, Sid and Former.
Hey, Clive.
He goes into the Gordon Piper great man category. Hi, Sid and Former. I'm looking after the greatest athlete in the rugby league world and love him, and I'll fucking sue you if you make fun of me.
Oops.
Also, what's an idolator? Yours sincerely, Clive. P.S. How do you even pronounce idolator?
I should have probably read that before I went on my rant earlier. Mm. But anyway.
This one from Victor Radley. Hi, guys. As you know, I'll probably get suspended for a month, but just want to let my fans know I promise to keep fit. So if anyone knows some parties up around the Byron Bay area, I'm keen for some tackling practice. Regards, Victor.
On you, Victor.
Finally.
Come in the studio. He's got plenty of time in his hands.
This one from a bloke named Matt Lodge. Hey, fellas. Just letting you know I'm moving to Newcastle soon. Would love to hear about any gyprocking companies looking to sponsor a player. They'll get bang for their buck, if you know what I mean. No, I won't read the next line. Thanks very much, Matt.
Do you remember when we rang a couple of gyprockers up in Brisbane?
Yes.
I'm not sure if any of that went to air, but it was hilarious.
It was a good afternoon.
That was good fun. You got your fact for this week?
Oh, mate. It's become a bit of a sex fact thing, but anyway.
Yeah, but people love it. Here's the jingle.
Having trouble making conversation?
I really want to talk to Monique when she gets off the forklift, but I've got no banter.
When Dave finishes making his two-minute noodles, I'm going to say hi. But what do I say next?
Well, don't worry. Here's former legend with a fascinating fact, so you'll be the life of any social setting.
Just two facts this week.
Yeah, geez, you went on last week.
While 75% of men always reach orgasm during sex, only...
Whoa, hang on. I've got trouble with that.
Only 75%... Sorry, while 75% of men
always... What are the other 25% doing?
I don't know. Only 29% of women report the same.
It's not my experience.
In addition, most women are unable to climax through vaginal intercourse, instead needing clitoral stimulation. I don't know what either of those things are.
Yeah, you should listen to your own facts and learn something.
Finally, the average person has sex 103 times per
week.
Year.
Oh.
Call me Mr. Average. All in your ensuite.
Yeah, on that note, I'm out of here.
Just used 103 different grips.
I'm going to get some more codrils into me.
See ya.
Ta-da. Don't cancel me. I apologise.
Ever start? You're playing games with my heart. I got a lot, but I ain't got all night. Let's get it started, it'll be alright. Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? Am I gonna see some action, baby?
The final game saw the Sea Eagles beat the Parramatta Eels 28-6.
What an upset.
In an emotional day for the Manly club, the players saluted fallen legend Bob Fulton and with a demolition of flat-track bullies, the Parramatta Eels, at Wankbest Stadium. The Sea Eagles wore black armbands and held an emotional pre-game embrace for Fulton, who died aged 74 on the same day that Lorraine Desmond died after a private battle with cancer. They went on to the record.
Fuck, I can't breathe. Did Lorraine Desmond actually die on the same day? It's such a fuck joke. I can't breathe through my nose. I'm just fucking snorting.
Fuck it, we're leaving this in. I'm too ill to go back and edit.
Fulton, who died aged 74 after a private battle with cancer, they went on to record a crucial win, their sixth win after their past seven games, which has lifted them from sixth to eighth on the ladder. And for those playing at home, Lorraine Desmond made 430 appearances on country practice.
Baby, am I gonna see some action? Am I gonna see some action, baby?